Okay, today is the Feast of Trumpets. And we're going to begin in Leviticus chapter 23. I'll probably read some of the same verses that Tom did, but... Oh, yeah, I forgot to read all the announcements, but at any rate, Rachel wants to wish everyone a happy Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." And in verse 2, he also starts out saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So, what do we know from what we just read? Trumpets is a feast day. It is God's day. It's not a Jewish day. It's not our day. It's God's day. He says, "This is my feast." It is a holy convocation, which is a sacred assembly. No customary work is to be done. It is a Sabbath. It is a new moon, because it's the first day of the month. We are to bring an offering, and it is a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural. Blowing of trumpets means a shouting, a noise, an alarm, a battle cry, trumpet blast. And a memorial is something that is done in remembrance. We have a Memorial Day you're all familiar with. It's I celebrate the last Monday in May, I believe it is, just so everybody's off on the same day. But it's a national holiday, and it's to remember and to honor those who have fought and died for our country. That's what it's for. You look it up in the dictionary, that's what it says. That's what the day is for, in case anybody has forgotten. So with all that in mind, then let's go over where Tom was in Numbers chapter 10 and reread a couple of verses here. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 8 says, "The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feast, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." The priest sound the trumpets. It was their job. That's the way it was ordained by God. It is the responsibility then of our religious leaders to warn us what is happening, to interpret the news in the light of the Bible, and to tell God's people to keep us informed. And, you know, that's what the church does. That's what the leaders does. You know, when Garner Ted was still alive, I mean, it was every week in the sermons. Then he started on the internet and got the word from. And it was a weekly thing, and it could be a daily thing with today's information. So, and that work continues. You know, it doesn't get out like it used to on video and audio, but it's on the internet. It's on there daily. You can update the internet every hour if you want, you know. It's just, so the information is there. The news is there. If you've been to the website lately, you can see where they got it broke down into different categories and the dates that the news came in, the different categories, whether it's on Germany or Japan or Europe whether it's on earthquakes or storms or war or whatever, you know, Israel, they're all broken down in categories and the news dated by that date to help keep us informed of what's going on in the world so we know. By doing so, then we can raise our voices to God and be remembered and maybe save our nation. That's what it's about. And it was always the work of the watchman to let us know what's going on, to let us know, hey, you know, we need to raise our voices to God and ask Him to make some changes before it's too late. And I think it's safe to say we are oppressed by our enemies. You know, we don't look at it sometimes because, gee, there's nobody shooting in the streets at us from some foreign country. But they are, and they have been, and they continue to. What do we have just in the news this week? The two people were released from Iran after 2 years in prison for nothing, simply because the leader wanted to come over here and make a speech. We are oppressed by our enemies. And of course, if you've heard the news, they said they're going to, Iran is planning on stationing ships off the Atlantic coast. And they got new cruise missiles now. They can be effective up to 125 miles. All this talk. But we know there is a connection between obedience and God hearing our prayers. We know that from Isaiah 59. And Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." So there is a connection between God hearing our prayers and disobedience. And there is a connection between incense and prayer. In Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 8. "So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division," of course, this is speaking of Zacharias, "according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." So everyone, all the people, the whole multitude was outside of the temple at the hour of incense praying. So there's a connection between prayer and incense. Obedience and prayer and incense. So let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Because the Bible uses symbolism, and incense is used as a symbol. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So here are the elders, and they have these golden bowls full of incense, and the incense is actually the prayers of all the saints. Our prayers are there before the throne. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." A moment of silence. You know, a lot of times at big special occasions, special funerals, they'll ask for a moment of silence. Well, this is a moment of silence, a half hour moment of silence for everything that has occurred up till then. the beast and the false prophet are ruling. War, famine, and death over one-fourth of the earth. Martyrdom of the saints and the great tribulation has been happening for over 2 years. The heavenly signs have just been experienced to remember and honor the dead in Christ. A moment of silence. No one in heaven, not an angel, not an elder, made a sound as the wrath and the fury of God, the vengeance, is about to begin. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The seventh seal contains the seven trumpets, which is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord contains seven trumpets. We always focus on the last trump, but there are six more that precede the seven. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. The prayers of all the saints ascend before God. He is aware of everything. At this particular time, all the prayers that have been given, all the prayers that we have all prayed, stating one thing in particular, thy kingdom come. It includes the prayers back in chapter 6 and in verse 10, when they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? God has heard, and now he will act. In verse 5, he says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who have the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So the seven trumpets that make up the day of the Lord are about to sound. God is about to pour out his vengeance on the earth. So, let's read some of the things that have caused God to be so angry at this point. Let's begin in chapter 6, Revelation 6 and verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. The beast begins to rule and to conquer, much like Hitler did at the beginning of World War II. He comes on the scene, he begins to rule, and then he begins to expand his rule by making war and conquering other countries. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Obviously, war. When he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales or balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Famine. Scarcity of food. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and the grave followed with him. And power was given him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Death over a fourth of the earth with war, with famine, with hunger, with wild animals going crazy from what? From starvation, from radiation fallout, from who knows? Diseases, rabies, but death. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. Persecution and martyrdom of the saints. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So Satan, who has access to the throne of God to accuse us day and night, is finally kicked out of heaven. His time has come. He's out. And when he's kicked out, he knows it's it. He's got a short time to try and destroy creation. That's his goal. To absolutely destroy as much as he can. So it says, rejoice, heaven. Now, heaven's rejoicing. That evil one is no longer got access. They're happy. But woe to the earth, because here he comes. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And who is that? Israel. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble, as it says in Jeremiah. Israel gave birth to the male child, to the Messiah. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Spiritual Israel, the church, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So when Satan realizes this is it, he goes after Israel. And when God protects Israel to some degree, he goes after the church. And we all know from the scriptures what happened. Revelation 13 and verse 4, so they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. It won't be easy when the persecution comes. Captivity, martyrdom. He says, but here is your patience, your perseverance, your faith. Where is your confidence in what you believe, in what you practice? And Daniel, let's go back to Daniel for a few verses in Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, at the time of the end, the king of the south will attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And of course, that's what we've been seeing now for the last many months in the Middle East, starting with Egypt and the change of government, is the formation of the king of the south. That's going to take time. You know, they're going to put in leaders that are going to fail, and it's going to take time for the despots to take over and to get the people behind them. But it's the beginning of what we've been looking for years, waiting for this to eventually start happening. And it's happening. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, which we believe is Turkey, Iraq, and Jordan. And of course, they're all three right there together. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. He shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. And he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. So what we're talking about is the Great Tribulation, that time of troubles. There never has been a time like that before in history, and there never will be a time like that ever again after this happens. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 15 says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those run, hide. Because verse 21 says, for then will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the Son of Man is revealed, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So all these things are happening. All these things are going on. And God says, enough. My turn. So, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. Or Revelation 6 and verse 12 to 17. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Like a 12.0 or a 14.0. And the kings of the earth and the great men and rich men and the commanders and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So the heavenly signs take place. God puts up with all this rebellion and destruction from Satan, and it comes to a point and he says, enough. And the heavenly signs take place. And the people realize this isn't man doing this. This is something supernatural, something they can't explain. And it gets their attention to the point where they want to hide, crawl in a cave, and not come back out. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. I look at that as meteorites. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And I look at that as an asteroid. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed from the tidal waves, from the asteroid. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. And I liken that to a comet. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And in case you haven't heard that before, the nuclear plant that melted down in Chernobyl, Russia, if you remember that several years ago, the name Chernobyl in English is wormwood. So it gives you an idea of how it would poison the water. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and the day, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I liken that to the volcanic eruptions and the ash clouds blocking out the sun in any given place for 8 hours out of the day or the night. Then I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpets of the three angels who were about to sound. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, past tense. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So they were commanded to torment everyone except us, those who have the seal of God. They were not given authority to kill, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like a torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So, what would appear to be Satan opening the bottomless pit, symbolic of telling all the demons, your time is short too, so go for it. And they go after all the people and torment them for 5 months. The only ones who aren't tormented are those who have the seal of God. And the Bible tells us plainly in three places that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are the ones who have the seal, who won't be harmed by the demonic presence. And then the great army of 200 million to go out and kill a third of mankind after a fourth had already been. So now over half of mankind has been killed. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And as you go through them, you'll see that those are the Ten Commandments. They did not repent of breaking the Ten Commandments. So, Revelation 18 and verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxuries. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Last chance is what he's saying. Last chance. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mixed double for her. Revelation chapter 11. So all this has taken place. And back in chapter 10 and verse 6, the angel swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Chapter 11 and verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thundering, an earthquake, and great hail. The temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple. Why tell us that? What is in that covenant? in the ark of the testimony. If you remember back, way back in Exodus, Moses was told to make everything according to the pattern that you saw on the mountain. We're told in Hebrews that the ark, the mercy seat, the tabernacle were all copies of the true, copies of the original. So the original ark of the covenant, ark of his testimony, is in heaven. What did he tell Moses to place inside the ark? The two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments. What do you suppose is in the original but the original Ten Commandments? Now, I wonder if anybody told God to open that covenant and erase that fourth commandment way back when. It's still there. It's going to be a witness even at this time. So the seventh trump, that last trump, the one we all wait for, has finally sounded. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed." We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality at the last trump. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then at the last trump shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" We have the victory. The grave loses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The same situation. "For the Lord," verse 16, "will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." And while we are with the Lord in the clouds, Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." And you can read on through 15 and 16. While the seven last plagues are poured out on the earth, destroying the beast and his kingdom. And then Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Ezel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you." And verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name one." And then back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the angels in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we go on, it says in verse 19, And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So the Feast of Trumpets represents the Day of the Lord, which comprises all seven trumpets. It's the wrath of God, which he will pour upon the earth. Satan and the demons, those who follow Satan and the demons, who worship Satan and the beast and the demons, until they are destroyed. And Christ will come down to the earth in Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and set up the kingdom of God and begin to reign. And we are right there with him. We are right there with him to begin what we pray for, what we have been praying for, which for almost 2,000 years, God's people have been praying for, thy kingdom come. And we will continue to pray for it. A lot of times, over and over again, people ask me, where are we right now? Where are we right now in the Bible? Where are we right now in Bible prophecy? And there are too many prophecies to go through to say this has happened, this hasn't happened, we may be here, we may be there. Specifics. Because there's so many things to happen. But in a general explanation, we are in Revelation chapter 5. Because what it says in Revelation chapter 5 is, And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open it and read it or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And verse 7 has not happened yet. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. It hasn't happened yet. Because when Christ walks over to the Father and takes that scroll out of his hand, and he breaks the first seal, it all begins. And the first thing to begin is the beast to come on the scene, just like Hitler did, to begin to reign and to rule and to make war and to conquer and receive the power and authority from Satan to increase. So where are we right now? Between verse 6 and 7. We're just waiting for verse 7 to happen. It's in the Father's hand until Christ takes it out of his hand and opens the first seal. When we see that beast power rise up in Europe with unexplainable power, and some of these other things, these other prophecies, all fit into place, then we'll know the first seal has been broken. And then it's just a matter of time, because it's all laid out. There's only so much time allotted for each thing to happen. So that's where we are. You know, we're waiting for these little pieces of the puzzle to be come into existence, like the King of the South. You know, we've known for forever who the King of the North was going to be, but it isn't in its final condition yet. But it will, as soon as the King of the South is formed. The King of the North will have to form to counter it. And all we have to do is look and see what's going on in the Middle East with all the turmoil, all the uproar, all the fighting, all the warring. Now, what was it they just got to be saying? That they got, 20,000 missiles missing in Libya? Don't know who got them, where they're at. Just a matter of time before all these things really start happening. So we wait for and look for the leaders, our religious leaders, to blow the trumpet, to let us know what's going on, so we can raise our voices to God and be remembered.